Psalm 22. I'm going to ask you to stand, please, to give honor to the reading of the word. Psalm 22. In the Christmas account, it is amazing that how it tells how Jesus was so delightful. It was a delightful thing for him to do the will of God, to do his Father's will. When you read Psalm 14, as well as other places in Scripture, the Lord not only delighted in the Father's business, but he was satisfied in his ministry. Nothing will make you more happy than to be satisfied to do what God wants you to do. Nothing. The Orteses are satisfied. Few people are satisfied serving God. They're satisfied. They're just a matter of fact, we're going to do what God says no matter what. And they've done that for years. I was looking at some things the other day, and I've been in the ministry almost 48 years. And I'll be honest with you, I'm satisfied. I am thrilled to see what God's done. I am interested in what God's doing with me right now. I have to depend on a lot more people than I used to, just because that's the way it is. God's teaching me some really good lessons, and hope to God I learn them quick so he can give me some more tests. But anyway, but Jesus delighted to do God's will. Psalm 22 is a description of his death by crucifixion, and reading towards the end of the psalm, you'll hear him praising God. I know this. He praises God the Father for what he has been allowed to do. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou not so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring, oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night seasons, and am not silent, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despise the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out their lip. They shake their head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth. There it is. In him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was at my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They gape upon me with their mouths as a raveling and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaw. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell my bones, They look and stare upon me. They part my garment among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling, from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horn of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Yet that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye seed of Israel, for he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from me, from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be as of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord, seek him, that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. All the kindred of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom of the Lord's and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and to declare his righteousness unto the people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Father, I pray you'd help us tonight as we look in the scriptures. We thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the promise of you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you go back to Isaiah 53, perhaps one of the better known passages of scriptures than any other passage of Old Testament scriptures of the Bible, it spells out the theme of the vicarious atonement, the death for one on behalf of many. At the end of chapter 53, we find Jesus looking upon the travail of his own son and saying, his own soul, and saying, I am satisfied. There's a lot of people today that are not satisfied. There's a lot of people that think that they can do better in this world. There's a lot of people in this world that think that other people got better breaks than they did. And they're just not satisfied. Isaiah 53 verse 11 says, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 through 7 tells us he delighted to do the will of God. Jesus could be delighted to come to this earth from glory, to lay aside the privileges and the entitlement that he had as the Creator God, that he had enjoyed as the Son of God for eternity, to make himself a human form, to become like us, to become poor, to suffer throughout life, and then to suffer upon the cross and die for death of the sinners and malefactors and evildoers. But yes, Jesus Christ delighted in that. He was thrilled what he could do. Why, the question is? Well, because it was his pleasure to do the Father's will to achieve our salvation. It's an incredible thing. He was satisfied to leave everything in heaven, to come down here, to be poor, to be broken, to die the death of a sinner, of a malefactor, of an evildoer, so that he could bring life everlasting. Imagine a person who sees something to do. We all see something to do. I don't care where we're at. I go down the road, I see some kind of debris on the road, I'll hit the four-way flasher, make sure it's safe, I'll get out and I'll throw the junk into the ditch. I have been told by my father, if you see something, own it. Own it. Somebody could run over that thing. Somebody could hurt themselves. Somebody may not be as observant as you are, and you see it, fix it. Imagine a person who sees something to do and realizes that he or she is the only one that can do it. But then either does not do it or does it reluctantly. The person says, well, I suppose it has to be done, and I guess I'm the only one around to do it. And they gripe and complain, and you know what they did? They just lost the blessing of God. They did the job. You did it. What do you mean so-and-so's not here to teach Sunday school class? Well, I suppose I could do it. What do you mean somebody didn't clean the church? Well, I'll have to do it. Gripe, complain, miserable, and all of that. You make a lot of other people miserable, and you make us feel very uncomfortable when you do that. Nobody else will do it. I don't want to do it, but I still am going to have to do it. Yes, the work is done grudgingly, but there's no joy. There's no satisfaction in it. You go home even more cantankerous, and inside your heart, it just gets worse. And you feel bad about that. You start feeling about that person and get griping and complain about that person. Man, you know, I don't believe much about that Disney, but that song, Leave It Alone, it's a good one. Or I would say, Leave It Alone, Dwayne. I am so glad our Lord did not think that way. Our Lord did not say, Father, if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. No, the Bible said Jesus delighted. Yes, you got that right. He delighted to do the Father's will. That's what he was here for. By the way, whether you like it or not, that's what you're here for. This world is not your home. You're here put on this earth for 70, 80, maybe 90 years, or maybe 10 years, or maybe 20 years. You are set here for a purpose, not to do your will, but to do the Heavenly Father's will. This universe does not spin around you. It spins around God Almighty. Amen. And the thing He's given you to do, man, be satisfied. Do it with delight. Be happy. It is any wonder that the angels were so joyful as they announced the coming of the one they called the Savior. May I remind you, you should be joyful. Thrilled to do what God wants you to do. Not because we give gifts to one another. Not because there is a certain lightheartedness at Christmas time, the spirit of the world at large. Not because of what God's given us, but because what God has done for us. I am amazed so many times that there are so many people that are so disgruntled at serving. You know, I'm afraid to be around those kind of people. I don't want that rub off on me. Well, if I have to. You tell me, parents. You tell me, mama, when you ask your daughter to do something or ask your child to do something, they said, yes, mommy. Tell me how that makes you feel. I'll tell you how it makes you feel. After you hear them, you drop to the floor. You take smelling salts out of your pocket and put it on and you wake up and say, what did you say? Tell us, as a father, you ask somebody to do something. And they take possession of it. And they do it. It's incredible. So the Bible says that we are made in the likeness of God. If so, we are made in the likeness of God. Don't you think that the Heavenly Father delights when a person says, Father, I will go and do whatever you want me to do? I like what those shepherds did. They made haste. Paul the Apostle said, hey, come quickly, help me, bring this, bring that. When my wife and I first came to this church 33 and a half years ago, it didn't take long and we were broke. We had our kids in Christian school. For 6 weeks, I could not find a job. I could do anything, and I could not find a job. They found out my name was Reverend and found out I was a pastor. And they said, sir, we want to hire someone that will stay with us, not just come in and go. I want to tell them, you know what, I'll be a better employee you'll ever have the first 6 months than you have somebody for years. I went down to Wendy's to get a job. And the people that owned Wendy's were Mormons, and they wouldn't hire a Baptist. At the end of the first year, I told my boys, I said, looks like you're going to have to go to public school. We can't put you in. There's no way. I spent up credit cards that I never... I came to Great Falls with everything balanced. I didn't owe a penny. And the first year I was here, I was down about $20,000. Church needed stuff. Hey, they needed this, they needed that. Well, just let's get it. I got a letter in the mail. After my wife and I decided, the boys cried and they said, Daddy, we want to keep going to Treasure State. And I said, son, I don't know how to do it, but I'll do it. And I got a job. I had a job. And I went to see Brother Talmadge. And I said, Brother Talmadge, I'm an honest man. I pay my bills. But I'm afraid that I'm not going to be on time a few times, but I want you to know that. And he said, Brother Shear, I know you're honest. You put your kids in school, and I know you pay. By the way, we did pay every penny of it. And only about three times we were late, maybe one time we were late. Somehow, some way, God took care of us. It's an amazing thing. I don't see how it works. After we decided to put the children in the school, I got a letter from a family in Hope, Michigan, where I grew up. And they said, Dear Brother Shear, God impressed me a year ago to send you this. But I didn't. I'd go beat the jack slap out of that guy. That would have really helped. You know what I mean? It taught me a good lesson, and I guess it really taught him a good lesson, because God beat the fire out of him and did some pretty rough things on the guy. He said, man, I'm going to get rid of this. I promised God I was going to give it, and I'm just it. I thanked him. That man did something that he did grudgingly. Not that it would satisfy him. Do you remember Dr. Ouellet came here and he talked about his father and talked about how he had this the rescue mission, and there's a preacher that needs some help, and he pulled out of the back pocket, like most preachers and most people have, someplace deep down somewhere, you've got something hiding in there, so if a real emergency comes, God, you know, I don't want to carry money with me, because God's just nudging me all the time. I mean, it's automatic. And Dr. Ouellet said his daddy was nudged. And he finally asked his dad, said, "Dad, why'd you do that? I know you and Mom don't have any." He said, "Son, I've always did what the Holy Spirit nudges me to do. That'll satisfy you." It was joyful when Jesus served. We should be joyful as well to do His will that He has given us to do. Don't begrudge. Be thrilled to serve God in every place that He gives you to do. Be faithful. I have a list of things like this that I need to cover for the Ortizes. And I'm going over some names. And I'm watching some people. Because I think that they have the ability to do it. But the problem is, are they faithful? Are they 9 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning? "Hey, preacher, I can't make it because, you know, I got a hangnail and, you know, and I just don't think I can do it." And that's a great question of my heart. Father, I pray You'd speak to our hearts tonight.